Well, for this next bit, I'm getting two for the price of one, because originally we asked Simon to come and preach. And then this week I thought, well, actually, well, quite a few of us know Simon. And for those that don't, I'm sure you're going to find out who he is in a minute. But I thought, maybe it's a little while since he's been up here and been with us. So I've asked him just to share a little bit about what's going on in his day job, bring us up to date with where he is. And that will just save 25 questions over tea and coffee and everyone asking him the same question. So, and then afterwards we're going to pray for him. So,
thank you,
Simon.
He's interrupting me there. I was just trying to write my sermon. Dear. So, well, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder, doesn't it? I think it's been a little bit too long. But it's great to see you all again, for those who know me. And when you said that, Leslie said, oh, heck. But for those that don't, 2014, we moved to Newmarket for me to take up the role as national chaplain to the horse racing industry. It's the work in many respects is the same. We deal with the staff in racing. We deal with issues in life. Issues in life are issues in life, aren't they? Whether that's horse racing, whether whatever sphere of influence, sphere of life you work in, we have issues. The problems, I think, James, you said on the phone, we've been thankful for churches who've prayed for us over the years, and you are one of those churches, and we give great thanks for that. The problems, if you're continuing in prayer, is probably not with the workload, although there's plenty to do. But I now have volunteer chaplains kind of throughout the UK. We need more of those. Please pray for that. Probably since I was last here, it's become a little bit of a stranger world. And the fact that, I think from a church point of view, we've been told what to do and when we can do it. Thoughts, worldly ideas kind of infiltrate areas that we would work in, and it's no different to my job. For a praying church, we live in a world where anything goes now, where our truth is personal and it's our truth, and so you have to listen to me and you have to stroke my ego a little bit, and that's where we're at in the world, and that's where we're at in racing organizations, I think. And Leslie and myself have spoken often about this. There comes a point, as a Christian first and foremost, as somebody's called, we've got to start saying, hold on a minute, these beliefs of yours don't tie in with these beliefs of ours. And I think we're in that place now where if anything goes, it's Christ Jesus for us and not. It saves me from hitting Leslie around the head. I do it quite often, so that's quite fine. James actually mentioned when he was on stage going off on a tangent, so boy, do I go off on a tangent. That looked quite funny. Those are your prayer points. We remain open to God and his guiding. And with that, we just remain open. We've moved around the UK occasionally. We will continue to do so if that's where he calls, but for now in Newmarket, it's a bit of a small world, isn't it, Newmarket? And it's the it kind of magnifies what the world looks like, you know, as a whole, and it's going through issues. And I think the wisdom of those people that lead the racing industry, for me, would that they would see what's going on, if that makes sense. And for us to be bold enough, and I'll speak on boldness a little bit later, but for us to be bold enough to stand up for what the church stands for. So thank you. Do you got any questions, James, on that? Or are you, was just for me to... Yeah. Has anybody else got any questions?
No,
go on, can you?
I just want to know whereabouts you're from. Where are your accents?
So I'm from Stoke-on-Trent.
Oh, okay.
And people will come out of services and say, "What part of Yorkshire are you from?" Or, "I love Scousers." So you won't recognise the voice, maybe. Stoke-on-Trent's that place you drive past on the M6 between Birmingham and Manchester. No need to stop there. Nobody does. Put both hands on the wheel, put your foot down and drive in a straight line. Stoke-on-Trent is home. So we're both on from the North Staffordshire and South Cheshire border. So the beginning of the Peak District, we like to call it. All right. It's in the posh bit, but there are no flies on me.
Very nice.
Okay, and I thought there was another question, wasn't
there? Yeah, I was going to say, I was town pastor in Newmarket last night, and the town was dead. Yes. How? And it never used to be pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
It was lively, a bit too lively sometimes. Is that reflected in the racing industry? Is it a similar sort of atmosphere?
Yeah, the racing industry struggles. It's got a staff shortage at the minute. It's got plenty of other issues, whether rightly or wrongly dealt with. I've got my opinions, but I'm not in that in that core group. Too few staff. Race days come thick and fast, and the BHA, the British Horse Racing Authority, have announced more racing as a trial for next year on a Sunday. There is Sunday racing, but it's only quite small at the minute. They just want to race whenever they can. That's a problem. So from the mental health side of staffing issues that we say we care about, and a little bit of the racing industry talks about and talks saying that they care about, the other side of the coin then is, with too few staff, I guess adding extra onto those too few staff, you kind of wonder whether we do care about those staff as much as we say we do, and that's an issue. That's a big issue. So prayers appreciated. Thank you. Is there anything else from?
Yes, seeing strings of horses coming off from exercise. A lot of the personnel seem to be of Middle Eastern and Indian, Pakistani origin.
Yeah.
Does that pose problems for you in your role?
Not at all. Not at all. If somebody knows somebody cares, it really, from the angle that I come from my faith, doesn't really affect their faith either. We just need to know somebody cares, don't we? And somebody will spend time with us, and somebody will listen to us. And it's a great opportunity, I think, as the hands and feet of Christ, as we all are, to be amongst that kind of workforce. But we wait to see the fruit from that. Thank you.
So I thought maybe we could just spend a few moments just praying for Simon, for the work that he does. So should we just spend? I'll open up and then I'll just allow you to join in with your prayers. Father, we thank you this morning that Simon is amongst us. Thank you for the work that he does week by week amongst the horse racing industry and the, just being that Christian witness amongst the horse racing fraternity and all that goes on in Newmarket. Being up at the crack of dawn, that wouldn't be my role. I rather like my bed. But Lord, you call us to do different things and to reach out and do different things. And Father, I just thank you that Simon heard your calling and you led him to this place to be amongst these people. Thank you for him. Thank you for the way that he has the ability to share with compassion. Just having your spirit. Lord, you can see his spirit within him, the way that he is able to relate to people. So, Lord, we just pray for him this morning, that his witness will become stronger and transforming lives to those that he meets in Newmarket. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we pray for Simon in a few minutes as he brings the word to us this morning, that Lord, you just use him, just fill him with your spirit, Lord, as he brings the message to us. Lord, may you just sense your presence as he expounds your word to us this morning, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Before Simon speaks to us this morning, I'm just going to read the scriptures, and it's from Acts chapter 2. No surprise, it's called, and well, the first bit is entitled "The Holy Spirit Comes at Pentecost." When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Assyria, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken about by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your younger men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Thanks, James.
wouldn't have minded if you'd have pinched my notes, and between yourself and Karen, we'd have had quite a good Sunday, wouldn't we? For those that haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, in prayer at the back, Karen came up with quite a good sermon today. So, but unfortunately, that might have to wait till next week because you got me. But it really is great to be here. And if I can go off for a tangent just one more time, Peter, with that daily bread cause that you've shared in the notes, what a fantastic opportunity, isn't it, to go and be the church to kind of organisations that work out with. But surely I can't be the only person in the room thinking, do they knock up a stake? but if not, it got Leslie's vote as a gluten-free aficionado, so we're going to head there, aren't we, one day soon. And so, if you turn to Job in your Bibles, this is probably one of the Sundays you can't pick your own verses, isn't it, really? This is, we're here on Pentecost Sunday. I think when Trevor first emailed me a few months back, Pentecost Sunday, you think, well, there's not really much. It's a bit like Easter, a bit like Christmas. You're not going to want anything else but really Acts 2, and we're thankful that we can speak through this. So if I can just pray before I start. Heavenly Father, I think as James said, you know, a tripod with two legs isn't of much use. As a church that longs to know you and to seek your guidance, we pray, Holy Spirit, come today. Come afresh. And come new. Fill us again. So that in our overflowing, our service to others won't be in vain. Lord, we give you the glory today. These are your words. I'll try and do them justice. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as we look in Acts 2, I think we're thinking about 4 years ago, aren't we, since we were last here, at least. A lot's happened, hasn't it, in 4 years. You're now online, and for those online, don't adjust your screens. I've put a bit of weight on. There's no trainer in Newmarket now allowing me to ride out anything of a morning. I'm twice over the limit of, you know, of weight that they will let on a thoroughbred racehorse. But it's great to be all together in one place as we read those words of Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I'm reading from the New King James. You and the words that came up were NIV, but it's again, when I got back to Trevor with, let's pull out two or three words that we could word this with, it was with one accord. And as we meet together in one accord, my Bible notes tell me this: being unanimous, having mutual consent, being in agreement, having group unity, having one mind and purpose. The disciples had an intellectual unanimity, an emotional rapport, and volitional agreement in the newly found church. In each of its occurrences, harmony leading to action. I've also learned in here, I can't read a lot of small words anymore, even with glasses on. And it's those last few words of being in one accord that I want to share with you today. Harmony leading to action. I'll say this as a start. You don't have to agree with everything that I say today. That isn't the unity that this unity speaks about. There will be denominations throughout the UK today that will talk about a different thing as we go on. And that's fine. We don't need to dot every I and cross every T with the gospel message that we bring compared to the gospel message that somebody else brings. But what we do need is a generalisation, a coming together of why we're coming together. Why do we do this that we do? And from a leadership point of view, this is my message to you all today, whether you lead in the church, you lead in the home, you lead at work, these things from these 20 odd verses today are for each and every one of us. They're not just for a certain few. From a leadership point, we are told that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, from a leadership point of view, as a leader, you will have to wait. There's a gap, and I don't know what you've spoken about over these last couple of months, but I'm guessing that at Easter, you did the Easter message. The theme is death and resurrection and new life. We then move on. I'm not sure if you would have done the ascension, which gets us to where we're here today. Ascension, Christ, although he rose again and he lives now, he had to fulfill one more job, and that was to sit at the right hand of God the Father. He's in heaven and he leads us to do the work. So you don't have to agree with everything I say, but what we do need to recognise is that the disciples here were sure of one thing, that they were to wait together for the coming of the Holy Spirit, for their mission to start. And the unity in the Spirit is somebody that even yesterday we spent the last couple of days in Stoke-on-Trent at my mum's house. My mum's not very well, so we're trying to spend as much time now with her as we can, aren't we? And we were going through some junk, as you do, as we're going to have to throw a lot out when unfortunately the time will come. But an old Methodist hymn book of my Uncle Stan's that we found in one of the drawers kind of out fell this page. I'm going to keep hold of this and I'm not going to. And it's my Uncle Stan in, I can't even, October the 30th, it looks like 1950. It probably would have been about then. The Hilltop United Methodist Church wrote to Uncle Stan and said, we beg to inform you that at the leaders' meeting recently held, you were accepted as a fully accredited member of the church. This has been done because the leaders believe that you are living in union of spirit with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought, well, if I'm going to talk about the Spirit and as we live in it, you actually got a letter from your pastor. You still get that in the Baptist church telling you that you... Yeah, I've never had anything telling me I'm living in anything. To live in the Spirit, in the union of the Spirit with Jesus Christ, is that three-legged tripod that we begin to talk about here. One or two without the other one only gives us half a story. If we were to focus on God all the time, the creation story is great and we're made in the image of God, each and every one of us. But we then read that we live in a fallen world, a world of sin. And without Jesus Christ as that second leg, we're still living in a world of sin and nothing's been paid for. And we've got no hope to do anything for ourselves. With that second leg, Christ comes to take our sin and to pay the cost. Two legs of the three, just like that. You will have done that over these last few weeks. But here, living in that unity with God and Jesus Christ, we wait. Leaders wait. We've waited long enough over these years to see each other again. We need to come back more often. Les, make a note of your in your book. Sorry. Behave. Okay. Behave means keep time, doesn't it? Waiting together isn't always easy. You're looking at a guy who, if I make a phone call and you put in a queue, that phone goes down. And I know there'll be a queue next time I phone. But wait is something that we're kind of programmed to do. Because rushing ahead, I can hazard a guess that for all of us here, rushing ahead into something, a decision in our past, has probably not brought out the best results. But waiting is the shortest of the headings that I want to share with you today, because for the disciples here in Acts 2:1, that waiting wasn't long. Suddenly, verse 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Your versions would have said it sounded like, and I love those versions. We can never fully explain what God's doing. The visions that God gives us, even if we go into the Old Testament and the prophets, anything that they share a vision, and what their vision is something that looks like. They can never quite explain exactly what they're seeing. They can only explain what it's like. And it's like a rushing mighty wind. I think a violent wind, as the American Standard Bible would say. Filled the whole house where they were sitting. What would happen today? We've got the doors open, it's a still day. If all of a sudden we're all blown up against this wall, would we try and explain that away a little bit? Oh, it was just a freak of nature. These winds come around occasionally. They knew exactly in their waiting what had just happened. Because leaders, the second thing to take with you today, leaders recognise the time. Much of the testimony we get from the witnesses at this time teaches that the vision can only be described by the capacity of our minds. Our vision's from God, and we get pictures. Do your best with those pictures to explain them in the best way that you can. That's a vision from God. It doesn't have to be perfect. Share it. The Holy Spirit comes, still comes. The call of action is ours to do. The unity is not to sit aground until we all agree the same thing. The unity is now that the Spirit has come. The tripod is complete. The stand won't fall over. The church won't fall down. The job for us to do is at hand. Because not only do we speak about what the disciples did in the early church, us in this age and this era, with all the problems that we encounter, we can wait for a while, but actually the waiting has been done. The waiting in the early church, the first day of Pentecost here, it's been done for us. It's just like really at Easter, we don't get round to April every year hoping that Christ rises again from the dead this year like he did last year. Yeah, you know, is he going to be dead on Sunday morning this time, or is he, you know, mighty please rise from the dead again? The first day of Pentecost has done for us once and for all. The waiting has been done, just like death and resurrection has been done. That's been won. Don't worry too much about waiting, but leaders recognise the time. The time for action, I think I'm here to tell you today, is now. In the prayer meeting this morning, you set up as though children are going to be here, whether children come or not. Faith is massive. Expectation is massive. Faith now in the disciples in Acts 2 is what they've been waiting for. They would have loved Jesus to have been around forever, but the job is now theirs. The church, the job is now ours and this community that we serve. But there's always a problem, isn't there? It's great sat in a room full of like minds, all kind of agreeing on similar things. But the problem here in Acts is the crowd's response. God will always draw a crowd. There's a church crowd, but the big crowds are outside the church. And they will watch us and they will look upon us. And they will throw accusations at us here. As each person, we're talking in different languages, and the people in the crowds can understand the languages from the area that they come from. They try to explain it away. They're drunk, they're full of wine. 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, some people are full of wine at 9 o'clock in the morning. Your gin, church, is particularly good this year. Thank you. And it's not last week's water either, it's fresh water, isn't it? That has happened. Tangents, you see. The crowds will always, and are now in this day and age, explaining away what the church is about. And what the church is trying to do. The government. I don't want to look back too much over 3 years. But will probably continue in the future to tell churches when they can open and close. And what they can say and can't say. This is what we've got to recognise, church. Church, we're supposed to be different. We certainly are not the world. We're not the decisions that the world makes. When the Holy Spirit comes, when we recognise the call to action, like the first disciples, things out of the ordinary now happen. Hold your ground. Hold your nerve. The world wants you to be like them, wants the church to be like them. They don't want to join the church, they just want the church rules to be like theirs, to make everything fit in a nice box. And, you know, we serve a God who loves everyone, but But for the world, that is where it starts and ends. There's no repentance of sin. There's no change of lifestyle. There's just a God of love. And although he is, on our part, the change is massive. But not to be the people we once were before the Holy Spirit came, dwelt within us. I think the world has stopped being amazed and perplexed by the church, because it thinks it's worked us out. The world and the church seem to work in harmony sometimes. Really shouldn't be so, and we do have a different message. The message. And a different truth, which is the truth. Thirdly, leaders, having recognised what's at stake, we don't hide away, we act. Leaders act. And Peter's boldness and the accusations that were thrown at the drunkenness of the disciples was to stand up in boldness. Leaders, be bold. It's not easy. Pentecost is the culmination, as I said earlier, of the resurrection, ascension, and now the gift of the Spirit. And Peter's words are not new words. If you go to Joel 2, starting at verse 28, the path here again is the Old Testament prophets speaking to Jesus through the people who call on Jesus to be saved, us. And so not everyone has called on the name of Jesus yet. And our job now, from this time forward, is to do the work of the Spirit and to proclaim boldly this news. It's that simple. We've got reserved for post-service prayer seats down here. In Peter's boldness, he says, "It shall come to pass in the last days." From this first Pentecost, that's the beginning of our last days. We are in the last days. We've still got today. Who knows how much longer? But God is starting to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, sons and daughters, young and old. We play a massive part in this. You and Burwell, what a part you've got to play now. I just want to urge you in that. Urge you on, spur you on. We want to cheer you on. All is not lost. One child going through the back there is a generation, as we sing, rising up to take their place. That's what we're cheering today. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Acts 2:1, pouring of the Spirit continues now. And we have chairs here for after service prayer. If any of you have been touched by anything today, want to bring anything to God, with those leaders who were equipped today to pray with you. Peter says, "It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's what we do. That's what we do in Newmarket. We bring a living God through Jesus with boldness through the Holy Spirit to a world that thinks they've sussed us out. I guess we've lost our weirdness a little bit. that first Pentecost would have looked strange to everybody. A little bit out there, not ordinary. What are they doing? What are they speaking? The joy that they would have had, adding, been waiting just for a few weeks for this day to arise. Now it's come. Just want to encourage your church today to be bold. Many of you know what it's like to wait. Many of you in your faith have recognised the time. Now we act. We leave here today, wherever we go into, families, jobs, in the community. Time to act in the way that the Spirit guides you all. And it's different for all of us. I'm not you, you're not me. You've got your way. We've got ours. But the church really is supposed to be a little bit weird. We don't conform to anything else but the Word of God. I've heard governments over these last few years telling their nations that they are now your truth. What they say goes. That ramped itself up for me a little few years back. Because this is now fully my truth. And I guess what it says we do. I fall short of that, by the way. Some of you here are friends long enough to tell me when I fall short of that. But that's what we're fighting today. We're fighting a world that makes up its own rules and it gets into tangle, just a tangled web, because their rules don't make sense. God's word never contradicts. It is truth above all other truth. And if I encourage you to do one thing, it is to be bold. The victory has been put in place. The end times are within us. They're here. Jesus is coming back. But our job is to continue to be a bit weird. To draw a crowd. And to explain why we do this. I'm not going to sing this song for you. And I don't think we're going to sing it today. But the song came in my mind as I was ending this message. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord your God is with you. You've got it.
Be bold.
Come on.
Be strong.
That's where we're at, church. It is great to see you. The message has got me thinking and reflecting, which is, again, I think is good. We're living in a time. Go out there and get them. Go out there and get them. There are people out there waiting who are confused by truth. Need a simpler life. We can't hold it to ourselves, can we? Amen. Thank you, James.